Chapter 10, verses 22 through 30. At that time, the festival of the dedication took place in Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I have told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name testify to me, but you do not believe because you do not belong to my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. What my Father has given me is greater than all else, and no one can snatch it out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one." The word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now, this is a relatively short passage, just a dozen or so verses. And unfortunately, it does not go into a lot of detail. But, as always, there's a lot of context. These things that we referenced here in this passage are spoken about more broadly in the rest of the gospel, and so we'll spend some time looking at these arguments and these details that John shares from Jesus from other parts of the gospel to get a clear understanding of what Jesus is saying. Does that make sense? We're on board? Okay. First thing, as always, anytime we read from the Gospel of John and we hear about these interactions between Jesus and the Jews, we have to remind ourselves and make it clear that John, that Jesus, that our faith does not hate the Jews. Okay? That we got to be clear about that. For 2,000 years, followers of Jesus have used scriptures like this, the Gospel of John, to hate and do evil things to our Jewish brothers and sisters, all right? We're not doing that. I'm trying to make it clear. We're not doing that, all right? Part of the problem with John and his community of faith is that they grew out of the Jewish tradition. Jesus was Jewish. He's here at the temple celebrating the festival of dedication. We'll put a pin on that. We'll come back to it. Jesus himself was Jewish. His first followers and believers were Jewish. Their issue comes, it is so clear to them that Jesus is the Messiah, that Jesus is the promised one, and he's doing this incredible new thing, but not everybody believes. Not only does not everyone believe, but they also persecute those new followers. And so when we read scriptures like this that seem to be so anti-Jewish or adversarial to the Jews, it is because in their context of being pushed out of their own churches and their own synagogues and their own temple, they're needing to make sense of this persecution that they're feeling. And it comes from their fellow Jewish brothers and sisters. That's not our context. So we step aside and away from that a little bit. Now, we've come to the time of the festival of dedication. I promise each and every one of you has heard of the festival of the dedication. You just might not know it, okay? It's Hanukkah. Jesus is in Jerusalem at the temple to celebrate Hanukkah. Now, are we familiar at all of what Hanukkah is celebrating? No? All right. I had a Jewish teacher in elementary school, so I got a little bit of background, okay? The festival of dedication. About 150 BC, so 150, 200 years or so before Jesus, there was a revolt in Jerusalem. They were already conquered and sort of held over by the Romans and others, and there was a revolt that was led by the Maccabees. And as the Maccabees and this Jewish army is pushing the Romans out, they come to Jerusalem and they see the temple. And the temple is not in good shape. These Romans that have come in and displaced all that is holy in the temple. When they get in the temple, they see that the altar has been desecrated. There's bushes. It looks like they've just let it go to waste. And there's bushes everywhere. And it does not look good. This temple is no longer worthy of God's presence. Okay? Imagine coming back from vacation and somebody's just completely trashed your house. They've torn all your pictures down. They've torn up your furniture. They've just all over the place. This is what they find when they get back to the temple. And so during this dedication, they clear it all out. They take out the altar that has been offered other sacrifices to other gods and that sort of thing. They rebuild it. They beautify it. They do a complete temple makeover. And they light the candle. They light the candle that represents the presence of God in that place. Finally, God has come back into the temple. And they celebrate for 8 days with this candle being lit. Now, part of the other part of the story is that they only had enough oil for the candle to be lit for 1 day. Okay? And being the temple, it needs to be a special, sacred, sanctified oil, and that took some time. And they only had enough oil for 1 day, but they still want this candle to be lit. And so as they begin the process of sanctifying the new oil, expecting the candle to go out, it keeps burning. Okay? God's presence miraculously stays in that lit candle in the temple, signifying God's real presence in the temple. And so, from that day forth, every year at that time, they celebrate the festival of dedication. They celebrate this Hanukkah. And so Jesus is in Jerusalem to celebrate. He is there at the temple, walking in the portico of Solomon. And this question is asked to him. Now, perhaps you've connected already how dangerous this question is. Are you the Messiah? How long will you keep us in suspense? Just speak to us plainly and let us know. This is a dangerous question. The Romans are back in charge. Everyone is waiting and looking for a Messiah. And as we've spoken in the past, when they're looking for that Messiah, they expect it to be a conquering liberator. Someone that's going to kick out those Romans and set up the kingdom of God here on this earth. Jesus, are you that person? Not only is that question itself dangerous, but you're doing it in the midst of this festival where that happened the last time. You're celebrating the last time somebody kicked the Romans out of this temple. Tell us plainly, are you this person? Stop keeping us in suspense. When are you going to start making your moves and kicking these Romans out? When will your kingdom come back to this place? It's a dangerous question. It's a gotcha question. They're not quite sure if this is Jesus, so let's throw him under the bus, get him to say these things, and if he's not really the Messiah, the Romans will take care of him. So Jesus must tread lightly. His answer is equally out there, equally unclear, if you're not listening. I've already told you plainly, and you did not believe. Jesus' proof, his answers to this question, his testimony to being the Messiah is the works that he does. I've already healed the blind and the sick. I'm going to raise folks from the dead. I'm going to make the lame to walk, the blind to see. These are not things that can be done apart from God. Not only that, but the words that I speak, this ministry and my testimony is from God's self. And you don't believe because you can't hear it. Sure, the sounds come into your brain, into your ears, and you make sense of it, but you're not listening. If you're truly my followers, you hear and understand my voice. But you don't, because you don't belong to my sheep. Now, have you heard any other scriptures about shepherds or sheep? This isn't something that John makes up, right? Anybody familiar with the 23rd Psalm? The Lord is my shepherd. That's right. Oh, we've come to this before. He leads me beside still waters, restores my soul. There's green pastures in there too. I should probably learn better in my heart what the 23rd Psalm is. That's okay. You'll have to forgive me. The shepherd, this image of a shepherd, is long in the tradition of the faithful. God leads God's sheep with a good shepherd. Jesus has already, just this very chapter, chapter 10, say, I tell you, I am the good shepherd. The thief will come into the gate, will come into the sheep pen, not through the gate. He'll open the gate and the sheep won't go to him because the sheep don't know his voice. When the sheep know the shepherd's voice, they will lead and follow that shepherd. The good shepherd leads them beside these wonderful things. Jesus says, I am that good shepherd. Those who are my people know my voice. They've seen those works that I've done. They've heard my ministry and my preaching, and they've recognized it for what it is, as being from God. And not only that, but what God has given me, Jesus says, cannot be snatched out of my hand. I always like to remember, it always seems like it's some old karate movie, right? Where the sensei is like, take this cricket from my hand. Not fast enough, can't get it. There's some skill that remains in being able to hold something in your hand. Y'all know I love football. Those running backs that never fumble. Oh, man. Those that can hold things in their hands and not be snatched, no matter who is trying to tackle them or wrench it from them. There's power in that. Jesus says, you, my sheep, that God has given me will not be snatched out of my hands. Now think about this. How does Jesus' hands end up by the end of this gospel? Nailed to a cross. Nails driven through it. Bloody. Torn. Jesus' crucifixion, his death on a cross, is what binds us to Christ's hands. Somebody asked in Sunday school, were there not other charlatans and people going around claiming to be the Messiah? And I think there were. I think the writings were on the wall. There was such an expectation that the Messiah was going to come that somebody got super uppity and started going about trying to get their own followers. Not the good shepherd. Not the one whom Christ, who God the Father was in. Whose hands were not bloodied and pierced, whose followers would slip away and be snatched away. Those followers in Jesus' hands do not get snatched away. No matter what comes, no matter who else lifts their voice and tries to pull them away, the Father is more powerful, and we cannot be snatched from Christ's hands. Jesus finally says, the Father and I are one. Now, we, throughout the years, as we try to understand who Jesus is and his relationship to the Father, we make this more of a literal sense, that Jesus is God, God's Son. There's some genetic material, there's some material similarity between who Jesus and God are. They are one and the same. Jesus doesn't mean it this way. Jesus means more specifically that my will and the Father's will are one. We are so connected in what we want to happen. We're so connected by our love and grace and forgiveness that we share with others. We're so connected in what we wish to happen with the fulfillment of prophecy and the coming of the kingdom of God that we are one. Jesus' will and God's will are inseparable. Two paths that have converged into one. And then when you go from that, being called Jesus' followers, he says this at the Last Supper, those who are my people, who are my sheep, who follow my voice, their will becomes mine. And just as my will is the Father, my followers' will is that of the Father. Is any of this coming together? Is any of it making any sense? Jesus is asked, are you the Messiah, by these folks that do not believe him? I've already shown you. I've already proven it to you. The things that I have done, the things that I have said cannot be done or said apart from the Father. The Father's will and I are one. My true followers, those that hear my voice, that recognize my works, their will and their works come and line up with mine. And I think this is what we have to ask ourselves today. Do we hear Jesus' voice? Do we recognize his words? Do we believe deeply in his works? Or do we allow those other thieves, those other wannabe messiahs, those other who are trying to snatch us from Christ's hands, do we hear their voice and get distracted? Do we hear Jesus' voice saying, "Let the children come to me"? Do we hear Jesus' voice saying, I was hungry and you fed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was hungry, you fed me, lost and in prison, and you came to visit me"? Do we hear those words and recognize God's will to feed the hungry and shelter the imprisoned and the homeless, to feed the hungry? Or do we hear other voices and get tugged away and pulled away? If we recognize and hear Jesus' voice, if we're following in his will, we cannot be snatched away. But maybe we don't fully hear Jesus' voice. Maybe we don't fully follow in his steps, and we get snatched away. Jesus says, "I've already told you and you didn't believe." May the works that we do show whose sheep we are. May the things that we say and believe and the people we care for show whose voice we follow. Amen.
Please stand and join me for the communion hymn, number 393, "One Bread, One Body." We'll sing the first verse.